Joe Tate, and I have a podcast that takes a look back at my sports broadcast career. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
Over the Timeline with Joe Tate is brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed without a smile. They serve residents Medina, Summit, Wayne County's Hometown Dental. I'm Bruce Van Dyke, along with Joe Tate. That's why it's Over the Timeline with Joe Tate, looking back at some of the years of Joe Tate broadcasting, highlights from his games throughout the year. But, Joe, one thing that maybe is different this year, and this is the highlight. I'll play you for this highlight, and it's not you. It's just Willie Nelson. You might
on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Now, I don't know if you ever whistled that song, or, you know, I mean, it came a little bit later than you've had many times on the road. But there's a point in a broadcaster's career where they got to pack it up and move on the road. Now, I'm not talking about job to job. That's another topic for another day, right? But within a sports team, you look at the schedule and you kind of see where you'll be going over the next 6 months, depending on the team. So let's take a look at the Cavaliers basketball. Did you enjoy going on the road? Was it?
I did.
Okay. What was the enjoyment for you about?
Well,
doing that?
I have a real love of railroads and railroading and railroad museums and tourist railroads, anything that I can connect with. And as I got to know my way around the country, I got to find out where these places are, and then on off days rent a car and go to the closest possible location that I would find interesting. And yeah, I did a lot of railroading in the old days.
Now, you'd find places and travel, because we talked in a previous podcast about your love of trains and your family, different family members that had worked on the railroad, and so there's that sort of, the, what did you call it, coal in your blood or something like that? I think that was the term you used, or something. Coal oil, I guess,
yeah.
With that sort of thing. Was it a... Did this start on the NBA, or did this work in your other times when you were doing different cities that you were at, or really just take hold when you were traveling with the NBA?
Well, it was, it actually started first when I was with the NBA, and then it became even a wider scope when I got with the Indians. And although when I was doing baseball with the Indians on radio, that was an everyday situation. So off days were few and far between. But when I went over to television baseball, there were times when, I know out on the West Coast, we'd do a Sunday game in Oakland, and then we wouldn't televise again till, say, Friday in Seattle. Well, that gave you a whole week of time to yourself. You could either travel along with the team and go to ball games, or go to the city, and or you could do what I used to do, and that would be rent a car and take the week to get from Oakland to Seattle and turn it into a railroad extravaganza. And I got to see a lot of things I never would have seen otherwise, and that's really when I was able to enjoy my hobby to the utmost.
Were you able to take anyone along with you, or at least enjoy this, share this with people, or did you find other, radio road folks at those museums along the way to chat with?
On occasion, I would, if it was, no one would want to go for the whole week, because the writers had to go to games and write and so on and so forth. But once in a while, Terry Pluto, for instance, would come along with me. Or when I was doing TV, Pat Murray, who was our director, would pal along and spend the week with me. And he enjoyed that sort of thing, too, just as long as we took him by an airbase so that he could see the latest military aircraft. Aircraft was his big thing.
Everybody has their sort of thing, I guess, that they find along the way as far as that. How are you with packing a suitcase? Were you able to live out of a suitcase, and did it change over time as you moved up in the ranks, so to speak.
I had the one outfit that I'd wear on camera, so to speak, and the rest of the time was sweatsuits, so I could pack for a week, a 10-day trip with a couple of sweatsuits, and if necessary, I could wash them and dry them. So
did you have a routine when you went into your hotel room? Check here first, set this down, do that kind of a thing. Look in the drawers, check under the bed, that type of stuff. Or
Bill Pitch used to say I drove him nuts because the first thing I would do is I would come in, unpack my suitcase, and put everything in the drawers in the various things in the hotel room. Okay. And he said nobody does that except you. So
what about checking the remote on the TV, figuring out how to work the TV? What channels do I get here? You know, right? What more amenities are there that aren't at home?
Yeah, but I spent a lot of time out of the room when I was on the road. I would try to get to railroads and railroad stations and railroad museums and so on and so forth. And sometimes it required a little travel to get there. So, you know, TV was the thing I did when I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah, right. Now, Joe, you're from a different era then. You should have been traveling on train as the sports, right? That was like a little bit before your time to do that, if I would be mistaken, right?
Well, Herb Score and I would travel by train. Okay. Primarily because we could, we discovered, for instance, we were playing a game in Baltimore, and the next stop was New York or Boston. Why, we could go down to the railroad station, get on the train, and go to our next destination, and we beat the team there by a lot because they would go by plane, and the trains on the Northeast Corridor were many and very fast, so we often were sitting in the hotel lobby waiting for the team to show up when we went by train.
We're talking with Joe Tate on Over the Timeline. We'll have more right after this from Hometown Dental.
Hi, I'm Joe Tate, here to tell you about Hometown Dental in Seville. They're my dentist, and they want to be your dentist for life. Hometown Dental offers same-day and evening hours to fit your schedule. And in emergencies like a broken tooth, they can always fit you in. All PPO insurance is accepted, and new patients are welcome. Call Hometown Dental on Center Street in Seville, or online, visit hometowndentalseville.com. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
It's Over the Timeline with Joe Tate, brought to you by Hometown Dental. I brought up this topic today about sort of on the road because currently in sports, the announcers are not going on the road. Talk with Tim Alcorn, who does the Cavaliers now, and sharing what he was telling me that they kind of, on the home ones, they're sitting in their normal spots. But then when they're on the road, they're in basically a sort of a studio that's filled with monitors, and they're basically calling a game off of a TV. Have you ever done that for any particular reason, or called a game from an external source, I guess?
I don't remember doing it that way, but it was infrequent, that's for sure, because I do not remember ever having to work like that, and I would not want to have to work like that, because what you end up doing is watching the game through somebody else's eyes, and that's difficult. And I think you mentioned Tim Alcorn. I think Tim does an outstanding job of seeing the game through the TV monitors rather than seeing it out of his own perspective. But, boy, I wouldn't like it at all. I'm very just another reason why I'm very happy I retired when I did and don't have to deal with that.
But it keeps – and the other part is, though, there's you're never on the road. You know, I jokingly said to him, so how's the wife liking it? You know what I mean? Because sometimes there's people who are married and they're broadcasters, there's sort of a freedom that becomes a big part of it and they expect the person. But now the person's home all the time. So it takes a whole different attitude or a different way to kind of live that broadcast life.
Well, that's true. It's almost a 9-to-5 job, but it would be like it's a 4-to-midnight job. And, yeah, I... I can see how that would take some adjustments on the parts of both the husband and the wife.
Right, because, you know, going on the road, there's a different time. Someone knows the schedule, and, okay, there's a person, and then now they're back, and now they're on the road again. Now it's a whole different type of a schedule. But broadcasting a game, you mentioned through some other eyes, and they have multiple cameras, and nowadays there's cameras even that we may not see as broadcasters that are there for the larger shot, the close-up, a thing like that. But there's an energy that you're not getting, right? I would assume that's what I think that's sort of in a esoteric way that seems to be missing from a broadcast then.
In a way, too, you listen to these pro football broadcasts that they're playing in front of empty stadia. That's tough, too. And, in fact, announcers, they tell you that all the time. It gives you a strange feeling. And even though a lot of the places are pumping sound into the stadium, it's not the real thing. And you miss the involvement of the crowd for the game. And,
well, they are part of your broadcast. I mean,
right.
They're there, and their emotion is what you are talking. You are describing the emotion that they are, you know, exuding at that time, and it's kind
that's
of
that's right.
It's in concert with each other, so you don't get otherwise.
Well, I guess it's a sign of the times, and they can, ownership of teams now can save a buck and a half by keeping the announcers at home so they can spend another $3 million on a 220 utility infield.
Right, exactly. But I was thinking on the positive side, Joe. Let's bear with me. There's young kids at home that can sit in front of their TV now and call the game with the same technology that the broadcasters are who are calling the game for that. So they normally, when you're younger and you're doing a broadcasting, you either you're at a game and maybe you're pretending to call it or you watch it a little bit. You know, that's sort of where the broadcasting bug gets you with kids are in front. Now they actually can just train themselves the same way, broadcasting the game in front of a monitor.
Well, you're right, except if you're a kid sitting in front of a TV set, you actually are trying to broadcast the game in a telecast situation that is designed for an announcer someplace else, and they don't take into consideration that you're there trying to see the game through that TV screen. Whereas, you know, like if Tim Alcorn is there and doing a road game, at least they are working hard at trying to give him the most possible views that allow him to give you the best possible picture under the circumstances.
Right. When you're broadcasting like that and you see you broadcast all that you can see, and then if you can't see it, are you honest in not seeing it, or do you move on, or do you just kind of like go from point A to point E and forget about B, C, and D in the middle there?
I've heard announcers do both. I've heard them reference the fact that I tell you what was going on, but they haven't given me that picture. There are others that just refuse to let you know that they're having a problem. And, you know, I'm not so sure that the average fan is hanging on every word anyway. I've often thought that all too often the listener, the viewer, whatever, they are just kind of hopping along from highlight to highlight to highlight. They don't really take a play-by-play and just tear it apart. It used to be in the old days when radio was your medium that I think people were much more likely to hang on every word or really pay attention to what the announcer was saying. Now it's kind of a give me an overview. And
right.
And Tim without, and I have and without, talked about that.
And without the crowd right now, you don't know if there's a ooh or ah or something. It's like
right.
Sometimes I've heard announcers going in past times, and you think the crowd's reacting to something that I don't think the announcer is describing to me. What am I missing here? There's a disconnect there.
Now it's That's true.
Now you're kind of all up to whatever the announcer has to say, but you do your best to follow. But, you know, as we've gone through this, we're glad to have sports back, whatever mode that they can call us. And And it's just fun to get, you know, that distraction, which is what sports does, bring to our lives all sorts of different things that, you know, it's a live moment. And if they win or they lose, what, right, Joe, what does it matter? My wife tells me they're not going to come over and mow my grass either way, so it doesn't matter. So I can enjoy it, but I can't get too involved.
There's a lady who's got a real firm grip on reality.
You betcha. That's all she's got the grip on, Joe. I just wanted to, for the record, that's what I want to say at this point. Well, Joe, we appreciate your time again. Over the Timeline with Joe Tate. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville.